Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November the 7th. And this hour, we'll wonder if you agree with the positions of presidential candidate and Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich. And if you do, will you vote for him? We will talk with a guest who says most Democratic primary voters agree with Dennis Kucinich on just about everything. So much so, he should win his party's nomination in a landslide. But then why doesn't that appear to be in the cards? While I know many listeners do like Dennis Kucinich, and you say so during our presidential straw polls, he is polling about 1 or 2 or maybe 3% in national polls. He is, though, getting a lot more attention these days, maybe not all of it good, from his eyebrow-raising admission that he saw a UFO discussed in the last presidential debate, to all the attention his wife is getting, his attractive, much younger wife who has a tongue piercing, to just yesterday when he pushed again for the impeachment of Vice President Dick Cheney. Let's listen to Dennis Kucinich following one of the Democratic presidential debates and how he distinguished himself from his other Democratic challengers.
Tonight, I was able to establish the following, that I'm the only candidate who stands for the Constitution. None of the others will defend the Constitution against an illegal war against Iraq and the planning for a war against Iran, which is also illegal. Next, the only candidate who stands for a not-for-profit healthcare system. All the others are for a for-profit healthcare system, leaving the insurance companies in control. The only candidate who stands for canceling NAFTA. You had some candidates up there talk about China and say they wouldn't have the products come in, but many of those candidates voted for China trade. I mean, look it up. So, you know, those are just some of the areas that I distinguish myself tonight.
So what's not to like there? Isn't that how most Democratic primary voters, aren't those the positions that most Democratic primary voters would take? Well, our guest this hour says, stop lying to yourself. You love Dennis Kucinich. She is Rebecca Traister, staff writer for Salon.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So that's right. Those are the positions that most Democratic primary voters would take, aren't they?
Yes, I think in many ways Dennis Kucinich gives voice to the best of what the party was built to be, has historically been. You know, he speaks to especially, you know, some of your more basic American civil liberties with more forthrightness and candor than almost anybody up there on stage in those Democratic debates. I think he is the voice of what used to be, and maybe what still is, the Democratic base. It's just unusual that he's the lone voice in many on many issues.
Yeah, well, so, well, why do you think that is?
Well, I think that there are a lot of ideas about why that is. You know, I think that it's pretty well established that the Democratic Party has moved right, or at least that their candidates for president have moved more to the center, are more increasingly petrified about identifying as liberals, as left-wingers, because those words and those signifiers have all been vilified nationally, and so there's a huge move to the center, and I think Dennis Kucinich is one of the only candidates we have up there who is staunchly refusing to make that move.
Yeah. Well, what about, to talk a little bit more about some of the points you make in your piece when it comes to Dennis Kucinich as the, he's the vegan who sees UFOs?
Well, my piece was a little bit tongue-in-cheek,
yeah.
Because I think that what I'm saying is absolutely true, that he does represent the best of what many Democrats believe and is honest about it at every turn. On the other hand, I also think that it's incredibly unrealistic that he would ever be the Democratic presidential candidate, and in fact, probably wouldn't work out well for Democrats if he was. I mean, it depends on what you're looking for from your election. But if you're looking to win, I think it would, you know, I don't think that he has a very realistic chance. And as interesting as I find his policies, I also recognize that in many ways he's quite unelectable. And I think that that is a sad sign in itself, that the person who stands for what I believe many Democrats believe in is in many ways a marginal candidate. Mm-hmm. I want to know why there aren't five versions of Dennis Kucinich who, you know, don't talk about seeing UFOs up on stage taking these positions. Mm-hmm. I want to know why he's the only one.
We are talking about Dennis Kucinich. Our guest wrote a piece that appeared on Salon.com entitled, "Stop Lying to Yourself. You Love Dennis Kucinich. Democratic primary voters, you agree with him about almost everything, and you know it. So why isn't Dennis Kucinich doing any better in the polls? Why is it that he is most likely an unelectable candidate? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, November the 7th. We are talking with Rebecca Traister. She is a staff writer for Salon.com. She recently wrote a piece, "Stop Lying to Yourself. You Love Dennis Kucinich." In it, she says, "In a quest for an electable, not insane, presidential candidate, you are willfully overlooking the candidate who actually comes closest to representing the things in which you really believe. Justice and peace and the basic freedoms that should be afforded to every American, regardless of race, class, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or galactic origin. In an effort to distance yourself from the squish of the Birkenstock and the stench of the patchouli, you have convinced yourself that compromise and pragmatism light the path to the White House. And you are correct. But still, before walking listlessly down the aisle toward our impending union with tepid centrism, let's rip off our clothes for one final ill-advised fling with ideological honesty. Dennis Kucinich is our man." 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. What do you think? Let's go to the phones. Jean in Island Lake is with us. Hi, Jean. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks. Yeah, I was telling the screener there that I really get upset because every time I hear a, one of the pundits on TV or comments, they always say Dennis Kucinich with a snicker in their voice. It's like they're immediately telling you subliminally that this is a joke. And I just don't understand it because the man has great ideas. He does represent the democratic values. And I am really think that he is electable. I don't understand why people say he's not, only because he's short and he's not a, you know, a handsome guy. But he definitely does hit a chord with people. Even my relatives, my dyed-in-the-wool Republican relatives, voted for Bush twice, said they would vote for Dennis Kucinich. He is the only one that's making any sense to them.
So do we say Dennis Kucinich's name with a snicker in our voices, Rebecca Traister?
Well, I mean, I think it's an awareness of the fact that I do sometimes say his name with a snicker in my voice that made me write this piece, because I'm also aware of the fact that I agree with you that he is giving voice to the best ideas, and he's being very honest. I mean, I agree with you about everything you're saying about the ways he's coming across. I also do understand why people find him unelectable. I mean, he's an eccentric candidate in a country that doesn't have a high tolerance for eccentricity. And I think that there's a pragmatism that maybe is what you're hearing from the pundits who are saying that he's unelectable. And when I say I suspect that he is probably unelectable, that's what I'm talking about, too. I wish that we lived in a world in which that pragmatism didn't have to come into play. But I think that there are things about Kucinich that would ultimately make him a tough candidate to elect, not simply because he's sort of short and a vegan and those things, which of course shouldn't have anything to do with it, but he had a very controversial term as mayor of Cleveland, there are a lot of professional things that would come back and make his candidacy very difficult. But I agree with you. He is somebody to be taken more seriously than we're taking him, if only because he's so well representing so much of what the Democrats could be.
Thank you, Jean, for the call. Kyle in Lake Geneva. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that, unfortunately, it's the media corporations who are telling us the options. And as far as I'm concerned, they've already narrowed it down, and they're telling us it's Hillary Clinton or it's Rudy Giuliani. And I read this morning there is a poll. I read in USA Today that 60% of the people that they asked would vote for Hillary Clinton simply based on her physical appearance, saying that only based on her physical appearance, she looks like the most presidential. And unfortunately, we're just not looking at where people stand on the issues. And money talks and issues do not anymore. And I just wanted to share a brief quote from Gandhi to actually give some hope to the underdogs. Gandhi actually said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they attack you, and then you win.
Well, thank you very much. You want to react to that, Rebecca?
Well, I mean, again, I half agree with what each of these callers is saying. I think I wrote in my piece that, it's time to come clean and admit that we're a Dennis Kucinich-loving party trapped in a Hillary Clinton-supporting body. I think that I do agree that some of the decisions about who's going to be the candidate, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or John Edwards, and who are the candidates to be taken seriously, I do think that those decisions have already been made. Now, perhaps they've been made for wise and practical reasons, but it's also true that perhaps in having those decisions made so early, we're really losing out on a whole array of ideas and positions that, in fact, would be a more honest expression of what democratic values should be and are.
Thank you, Kyle. Steve in Oshkosh, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning to you both. I wonder if I could draw a parallel between the Ron Paul campaign and Dennis Kucinich, though I actually fall to the left of Dennis Kucinich politically. I read yesterday that Ron Paul had a top one-day fundraising operation of all the Republicans, and no coverage. It was $3.8 million. He beat Mitt Romney by a few hundred thousand. And it seems to me it points to a body count minimum to be the U.S. president, that neither Ron Paul nor Dennis Kucinich would happily go murdering a million Iraqis or Iranians and would stand up to the military-industrial complex. And I think if you take that position, you are not even on the table in this country.
Mm-hmm. Can I respond to that?
Yes, please.
I think that you may be right about that. There's something interesting going on. One of the reasons I wrote this Dennis Kucinich piece is because there are a bunch of polls floating around out there on the internet about, you answer all these questions about where you stand on the environment, on the war, and then they show you the candidate with whom you're best matched based on, the public positions that they've already taken. And one of the reasons I wrote this Kucinich story was because everybody I knew was getting Kucinich, and everybody I know had no plans to vote for him. The same thing is true, I believe, about Ron Paul and Mike Gravel. I think that in a funny way, the people, I believe that it's the fringe and marginal candidates who many voters find themselves in closest agreement with.
Yeah.
And I think that is the heart of what's troubling about this disconnect between what we believe and who we will wind up voting for.
Yeah, Ron Paul's fundraising feat yesterday did get some coverage. Steve, I will take issue with that. I saw it quite a bit on various cable news programs and other news programs. And in fact, I was going to suggest that we do a program on that topic, but we had the Kucinich Hour booked for today, and a lot of people are calling in right now about Ron Paul and not Dennis Kucinich. What do you make of that, Rebecca Traister? Everybody wants to talk about Ron Paul.
That's so interesting. Well, I would argue again that it's a similar. These are characters who are on the outside of the election that is being covered. They're on the fringes, mm-hmm. and yet they're the people who are most exciting to us because they're bringing something different mm-hmm. to the conversation, and we're most excited about them. And they're making the most. Well, not all of them. Ron Paul. They're making money and they're attracting attention because we're so starved for people who are willing to say things that have not been pre-polled and pre-approved and stamped out on a presidential candidate assembly line. Yeah. And they're the people that are exciting it. So I don't know what to say about an increased interest in Ron Paul over Dennis Kucinich. I think it depends on the moment, the day. It's possible that a lot of the rabid Kucinich supporters also have been slightly put off in the past week, depending on how they feel about his admission about the UFO and his move to impeach Cheney.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to play the clip from the debate where Tim Russert asked Kucinich about the UFO. Here he is.
This is a serious question. The godmother of your daughter, Shirley MacLaine, writes in her new book that you sighted a UFO over her home in Washington State, that you found the encounter extremely moving, that it was a triangular craft, silent and hovering, that if you felt a connection to your heart and heard directions in your mind. Now, did you see a UFO?
I did, and the rest of the account, it was unidentified flying object, okay? It's unidentified. I saw something. Now, to answer your question, I'm moving I'm also going to move my campaign office to Roswell, New Mexico, and another one in Exeter, New Hampshire, okay? And also, you have to keep in mind that Jimmy Carter saw a UFO, and also that more people in this country have seen UFOs, and I think approve of George Bush's presidency.
Actually, 14.
And so, wait, we're just getting started here.
Well, got a little bit of zinger in there. Do you think that'll hurt him, Rebecca?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And I feel for him because I think he's very funny. He makes some good points, you know. I don't know what he saw. But yes, of course, mm-hmm. that'll hurt him. I recently read his an earlier book, a book from several years ago, possibly 2003. Kucinich has a history of a sort of wowie zowie out there take on life. And I appreciate his honesty in expressing it and his fearlessness in expressing it. But no, I don't think it's going to endear him to American voters as a whole. No.
Yeah. Let's go to Kevin in Wauwatosa. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I just want to point out that, you know, when we watch these debates, how much the media shapes these debates. When they go to Hillary for 20 questions in 2 hours and Dennis gets five, where is the American uprising against how these media people are shaping these debates? Why are they going? It's not the Hillary show. We have other candidates up there that need to be heard, to have questions answered, directly put to them, not in response to, you know, what would Hillary do or let's get Hillary. That was so overwhelmingly Hillary.
Yeah. I bet you that Hillary probably would have liked to not have answered all of those questions, Rebecca Traister. But
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, one of the things about that, when you talk about how the media shapes those those debates, that was fascinating in how hard Russert hit her. I mean, it was really, and it was as though there was a group decision that they were going to go after Hillary, and I'm not talking about that from a gender perspective, but as the front runner, that they were going to get her. And so I think that's, I don't think she would be thrilled about that any more than Kucinich would be thrilled about not getting any attention.
Let me hold it there because we have a newscast from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will be back talking more with Rebecca Traister about her piece, Stop Lying to Yourself, You Love Dennis Kucinich. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday, November the 7th. It's 7:36. We are talking about presidential candidate and Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich with a guest who recently wrote a piece that appeared on Salon.com, Stop Lying to Yourself. You love Dennis Kucinich. Democratic Party voter, she says, you agree with him on about almost everything, and you know it. Well, do you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's take a listen to Dennis Kucinich, who made headlines again yesterday when he pushed for the impeachment of Vice President Dick Cheney. Here's Dennis Kucinich on an ad on his website talking about impeachment.
My fellow Americans, We're in an interesting condition in this country where we are told to take impeachment off the table and keep on the table a U.S. military attack against Iran. This really calls for a new thinking. It calls for us to reconsider very deeply the moment that we're in, where our Constitution is being trashed, where international law is being violated, where our hopes and dreams for the education of our children, for the health of our people, for housing, for our veterans, are being set aside as we go deeper and deeper into war. We need a whole new discussion in America. And with your help, we're about to have one.
We're talking with Rebecca Traister, staff writer for Salon.com, who wrote the recent essay, Stop Lying to Yourself, You Love Dennis Kucinich. And will this impeachment issue do any good for Dennis Kucinich, Rebecca?
Well, I have a feeling that to some extent he may be preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people who are going to be excited about his move to impeach Cheney are the people who are already excited about him. Mm-hmm. I think it is good for him in that it certainly is getting him a lot of attention. He is, you know, as an earlier caller pointed out, that he gets short shrift at the debates. Something like this has got him in the headlines in a way that really can only be good for him, because I do believe that a lot of people are very interested in what he has to say and are feel that what he's saying is refreshing in its honesty and in the degree to which they agree with it. Again, I don't think it's a practical move. I don't think it's one that is going to mean that he surges ahead in the polls. But I suspect that it probably will be good, if only in that it will get him more attention. And the more attention he gets, I do believe the more people will say, hey, I agree with that guy. I believe Democrats say that sitting around watching the debates. Mm-hmm. I know it's a conversation that I've had during almost every one of these many, many debates with friends. You know, you sit around, you watch, and somebody's like, you know, I really agree with Kucinich more than anybody else on stage. People say that. I'm sure other listeners have had the same experience. So I do think that the more airtime he gets, the more people will say, that's funny, I agree with him. Now, I actually don't believe that means that they will necessarily go and vote for him.
Right, right. In fact, you conclude your piece that, you love Kucinich and so do I. Not that I plan to vote for him. That would be crazy.
Right. Well, that's a joke. That was tongue-in-cheek. I don't know who I'll wind up voting for. In part, it will depend on where the primaries are, what's happening between the candidates. And this is honest, I don't think that Kucinich is going to be the Democratic nominee. Now, that doesn't mean that I won't vote for him, but it depends on, I live in New York. By the time my primary rolls around, there will be a series of decisions to make based on who's in front, whether the primary is going to have any impact on who's going to be the candidate, which it probably won't at that point. In which case, the choice about whether to vote for Kucinich will come down to, do I have the space to make a statement? Because it is a statement that I might like to make, you know? And I think that a lot of people who vote for him may be voting to make the statement as much as they're voting because they expect him to win the nomination.
Let me bring in a caller on this. Terry in Waukesha, go ahead.
Wow, what a great topic. Thank you for taking my call. And good morning, Joy and Rebecca. Rebecca has perfectly described me. I'm a closet Kucinich fan, and I've been admitting such for quite some time now. But I remember a couple of elections ago when I chided those friends of mine who voted for Ralph Nader for all of the right reasons. They were good, intellectual liberals who had exactly the right reasons for voting for the candidate they thought would make the best president. And we all know what Ralph Nader ended up doing to that election and what the results were. And I told myself I could never do that. I could never allow myself to vote for a candidate who didn't have a serious shot at winning the White House, that the stakes were simply too high. So at that point, I kind of put myself in the middle, not wanting really to be there, but allowing myself to go along with these candidates who continue to marginalize themselves. The debates that I've been watching have really made me uneasy about all of the leading Democratic contenders. Even though I like all of them and would happily have any one of them as president, I find them all marginalizing themselves much the way Al Gore did. At this point, even though Kucinich says exactly the right things at every moment, I don't think he's electable. And mm-hmm. the stakes, again, are simply too high.
I want to ask you before we let you go, though, Terry, what about with Wisconsin's primary in coming up February 19th, I think, and it might even already be decided that the Democrats will have elected their nominee. Would you vote for him then? I mean, knowing
yes, I would. If it's all over, why not? Sure. Yeah, he is by far the candidate that is best elucidating my position as a Democrat, as a liberal. And I would love to see the argument shifted to gather more of the left-leaning voters who have been disenfranchised by the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. The stakes are too high, though, in the general, Rebecca.
Well, yes. The stakes are too high in the general. But Terry makes an interesting point, which is, and this is what I was saying earlier, I wish there were more candidates up there, more Democratic candidates saying exactly the right thing. What I say in my piece is, why is it that the one guy who's giving voice to these things, who's saying exactly the right thing to every question, is also the guy who's seen a UFO? Why is it that the basic, Dennis Kucinich is no radical, He's talking about what used to be middle-of-the-plate Democratic ideas, values, positions. And why is it that he's the nutty guy who believes in aliens or thinks he may have seen a UFO? I want to know why there aren't five other Democrats who are saying exactly the right thing. They're supposed to be representing the party. Then why aren't they saying what their base believes in? Now, there are lots of answers to that. They're fitting into polls and they're worrying mm-hmm. about moving to center and not alienating people. But that's my frustration. It's not so much Dennis Kucinich, the man. I'm not convinced he would make a great leader. I do believe he believes what I believe. But I don't know that makes him presidential. I want to know why there are other candidates up there who are arguing things like Kucinich is arguing.
Let's go to Leroy in Kenosha. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Just a couple of things. First of all, to the people who are saying to stop lying to themselves, I've been a supporter of Dennis Kucinich every time he's run. I think he, as has been said many times, he says all the right things. I agree with probably 90 to 95% of his stands. As the people who say that they wouldn't vote for him because he doesn't stand a chance of winning, since when should we be voting for winners rather than for positions? If you want to vote for winners, then fine, pick a winner. Follow the polls, and you don't have to do any thinking about it. But the point that I was calling in on, and it's been mentioned a couple of times, is about the UFO comment. The media seems to be making a big issue that Dennis Kucinich is crazy because he saw something that he couldn't identify that was a flying object, so therefore it was a UFO. But no one brings in the relationship to God speaking directly to George Bush only a few years ago, and not calling that it just is crazy. And there's a disconnect there that it really frustrates me.
You want to explain that disconnect, Rebecca?
Well, I'm afraid I can't explain it, but I can say that I agree with you. I think it's a very valid point. I know a lot of people who have called George Bush crazy in many instances. But I do agree with you that there is a double standard and that, we'll tolerate a lot of religious talk, even if it may not be something that we have experienced ourselves or believe with it, but we will not tolerate anything, more eccentric than that. I can't explain it. I wish I could.
Yeah. We're going to check weather and then take more calls for our guest, Rebecca Traister, staff writer for Salon.com. She wrote a recent essay, Stop Lying to Yourself. You Love Dennis Kucinich. Do you? 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, November the 7th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will talk with the author of A Complaint-Free World, How to Stop Complaining and Start Enjoying the Life You Always Wanted. That's coming up after 8. We're talking about Dennis Kucinich during this hour and why so many Democrats, or Democratic primary voters anyway, agree with Dennis Kucinich about just about everything, but are not seriously considering voting for him. Our guest wrote a piece, Stop Lying to Yourself, You Love Dennis Kucinich. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. Clark in West Bend is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, I think one of the main problems that Dennis has is not so much that there are Democrats who don't agree with him or wouldn't vote for him, but the general public doesn't know that much about him. And the problem is that I've gone out, for instance, and raised money for Kucinich, going door to door and having some of the talking points that he has on his Internet site. And when I go to people, and actually people who never heard of him, once I give them the talking points, go, oh, yeah, here's some money. And I've raised a couple $100 for him going door to door. It does a couple different things. One, it does raise him money, which he will need eventually to get to actually buy airtime, which right now mostly of his information comes through the net. And secondly, people out there who are not that politically connected have found that once they hear about him, they go, oh, wow, this is good stuff, but they just don't know about him. So it's mostly a matter of the uninformed public that needs to find out more about him. And I'm pleased to see that through a variety of sources, Dennis has gotten much more publicity this go-round than the last time.
Mm-hmm. Think so, Rebecca?
Yeah, well, that in part is what I was saying about the move to impeach Cheney. He's taking some very loud, perhaps not practical public stances, but it's getting him a lot more attention. It's getting him a lot more play in the newspapers and on the Internet. So, yeah, I think he's got a lot more attention this go-round than he did the last. Mm-hmm. Although we also have to remember that Democrats were so horrified by what happened 4 years ago, 3 years ago, that I think, no, you could say that again about what happened 7 years ago, but I do think that with each election, a lot of very unhappy Democrats are saying, what is our problem? Why can't we fix this? And so I think that leads to looking around at other candidates, not just the big three or however many, you know, are the front runners.
Yeah. Speaking of getting a lot more attention these days, I'm seeing a lot more attention on his wife.
Yes.
In that she's, you know, much younger and has apparently has a tongue piercing.
Yeah, well, I'm not too concerned with the tongue piercing. I think she told an interviewer, so what?
Tongue piercing,
you know, and I sort of tend to agree with her on that. But, you know, as anybody who's lived in the United States and voted in the United States knows that in every election, you know, the candidates' families and loved ones and personal lives get dissected. They just do. And Dennis Kucinich happens to have an extraordinarily beautiful, very young wife. Much younger and much taller than he. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is going to capture the imagination of the public in a particularly special way. Mm-hmm. So I think it's ludicrous to take him apart because his wife has a tongue piercing, but I can appreciate the fact that it's something that sort of cheers people up, that this short vegan guy has this tall, stunning young wife, you know.
That reminded me of, you write in your piece that Dennis Kucinich resembles a leprechaun or something along those lines. But
well, he doesn't have what we think of as a traditionally presidential mien. Mm-hmm. I think we could say that. He's quite diminutive. He's very, you know, he doesn't look presidential in the way that we've come to define what presidential looks like in a televised age. Now, to be very fair, for other reasons, Hillary Clinton also does not look presidential, you know, going by what we've come to define as presidential. Mm-hmm. She's female. Barack Obama does not look, you know, what we have thought of as presidential, which is big, strong, strapping, white male. We have a lot of candidates up there this time who don't look like that guy.
Did you see, by any chance, a Saturday Night Live after the last Democratic presidential debate had a skit where all the characters were dressed up as the presidential candidates, supposedly plotting how they were going to pile on Hillary Clinton? It was all the guys in a room. And they kind of, everybody kind of looked like the candidate that they were representing. And then they showed Dennis Kucinich, and it was a very petite young female cast member. And the audience just roared when they just looked at, you know, the
candidate. Right, right. I mean, there's no accounting for sort of our own bad taste. It was, you know, it's funny. It's not nice. It's not evolved, but you know, it can be funny. It's just that he doesn't look like what we think of as a traditional presidential candidate.
Gary in Green Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for your series, and I appreciate the respect you're giving Dennis. I think he's one of the true patriots in the Obama-Feingold Durbin mold, and I think that if the corporate media wasn't in control and we had public campaign finance reform, I think he'd be a lot more a lot more popular. I think it's just people believing the unelectable bit that they put out that makes him that. I think that he's a fine candidate, and I've always supported him. Thank you.
All right. Public financing might help a candidate like Dennis Kucinich?
It might. I think it would certainly help him. I don't think, again, I don't necessarily think that Dennis Kucinich would or should exactly be the Democratic presidential nominee. I just think that the stuff that he's saying should be heard, and that there should be more candidates who are conversing with him about these issues. You know, I also want to speak a little bit. Many of the callers have talked about the disconnect between the fact that we believe in what he says, but he's not electable, so we're not going to take him seriously. And why don't we vote on the ideas and the issues? I believe that we should vote on the issues. But I also think that there is something to be said for practicality when it comes to putting a Democrat in office, because it matters. It matters for the Supreme Court. It matters for an attorney general. It matters who's in office, and that there is something to the notion of electability that we need to pay attention to. It's not just ignoring the issues and moving to the center. We have to think about who can be electable. It's not wrong to consider those things.
Scott in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. The one thing I like is his honesty and forthrightness. I mean, I could never vote for Dennis. But at the same time, I like the fact that he tells you what he believes in. He tells you the position. I wish all the candidates had that characteristic about them. Be it you want to vote for him or not, the one thing that I really enjoy is there's no parsing of statements or words. I mean, he's just very straightforward. I disagree with him on a lot of things, but I at least respect the fact that he's completely intellectually honest about his views and his positions, and that's, I guess, just the one thing that I do admire and I do respect about Dennis.
He is. You mentioned his honesty too, Rebecca.
Yes, I think. I mean, this is the tragedy. Listen, you know, I can never vote for Dennis, but I do respect his honesty. This is, we're really hungry for it. Again, I also think it's why lots of voters are very interested in Mike Gravel and Ron Paul. You know, these are people who are not just giving us the nuggets that we expect to hear from our candidates that have already been pre-baked, pre-polled, pre-packaged. They're saying, we sense in them an honesty. And what's very sad is that they are on the fringe. And we need, if we could only import some of their candor, some of their idealism, some of their wit and willingness to be intellectual. I mean, listening to Dennis Kucinich speak, you think, wow, this guy can talk. He's articulate. He's saying the right things. He's talking to us like we're adults who understand the country that we live in and its laws. That's a way that a lot of the more major presidential candidates don't speak to us. I believe they could. I believe it's in their power. I believe that it's just something that they're taught not to do, that now major candidates speak down a little bit to the American public. All of these qualities that Kucinich embodies are qualities that the other candidates could learn from and that I think voters would really respond to. I wish that it would happen. I wish that some of the Kucinich honesty and some of his beliefs could be imported into the more central debate.
Let me share one last email with you. Michael in Phoenix writes, I confess, I love Dennis Kucinich, but I also love all of my childhood ideals and heroes. I so wish the hippies would have won, and today we were all too busy making love to make war, because once upon a time, everyone visualized world peace, and it came true. But the hippies didn't win, and Peter Pan is the only person who didn't have to grow up, and I am sorry. I can't waste my time embracing dreams when the real consequences of my political choices are so dire. What about that?
Oh, it's so sad. So sad. Yes, yeah, this is precisely the problem. Now, I'm an optimist. I believe that the hippies will come again, you know, or mm-hmm. some other version. I believe that this move to the center will not be permanent, but I think we're also looking down, you know, that we're looking at moves back out to the left that will come not next year, maybe not even in 5 years, but you know, I think that history moves in cycles. I'm not sure that the hippies have lost. I do think we're making progress. It's just going to be slower than we thought.
Well, we got to leave it there. We're out of time. I'm sorry. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun.
Yeah, Rebecca Traister, staff writer for Salon.com. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.